Christos Anesti. Christ is risen. Christos Anesti. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Today's gospel, which we just beautifully heard by one of our deacons, Deacon Clint, should ring a couple bells for us because we heard part of this gospel last Sunday at the beautiful Agape Vespers, where we had close to a dozen individuals reading the gospel in many languages. We just heard it today, the Sunday after Pascha, or in the Greek, Antipascha, the Sunday after Pascha itself. And we will hear it again in the Orthros on Holy Pentecost, 50 days after our Lord's resurrection. But today is also Mother's Day. We want to wish all of our grandmothers, our godmothers, our great-grandmothers, our yayas, a kronyupala, a blessed day, many more years, and for all the thanks that they do for us, the courage that they have, the love that they have for us that is unconditional, and that we are reminded also in the church of our one mother, the mother of God, who is wider than the heavens, who is back behind me in the platitetta, whose reach is so wide, her soothing when we are in distress is so beautiful, which is why we have so many services and commemorations of the mother of God that we can't even begin to describe all of them other than when we turn to the mother of God, we are given hope, we are given calmness, and courage. So a blessed Mother's Day to all of our mothers today that celebrate, and it is also one of the few Sundays where Mother's Day and Thomas Sunday are on the same day. So when that does happen, we are equally as blessed. But in the gospel today, going back to the gospel, we hear in this first part of the gospel that this is the same day of our Lord's glorious resurrection. Mary Magdalene went to the tomb earlier and proclaimed it to the apostles. And the angel of the Lord told her, go and tell it to the apostles. This is the same day. And our gospel is broken into three parts. The first part, the appearing to the apostles. And Thomas is not there. We have the second part, the appearing of our Lord to the apostles with Thomas there. And then the purpose of John's gospel, the purpose of this gospel. So we have the first part, our Lord being in the midst of all of them, where he says, peace be with you. Many of us know in the liturgy when the priest comes out right after the Lord's Prayer and he says, peace be with you. This is that same peace that our Lord is giving to the apostles. They're in this room, this upper room, a synaxis, they're gathered. The synaxis comes from the assembly that is used comes from the Greek synaxis, synaxon, meaning to be gathered, the listing of all of the saints. We read that in the Orthros. Today, we have the assembly, the gathering of the apostles in this room for fear. They were in fear. They were literally clinging for their lives, and they were all gathered together and in fear. And our Lord appears to them, and he says, peace be with you. Not in the sense of world peace, economic peace, which is fine and it's good, which some of them were familiar with Caesar, since he ruled in that time. But we think of peace in Yerini, this worldly peace. But it is the peace that the Hebrews were very familiar with called Shalom, which means the heavenly peace, the divine peace, the peace that comes to each one of us after we go to the confession and we confess our sins. Peace be with you, go in peace, depart, no anxiety. It is that same peace that our Lord gave to his disciples that calmed them of this fear, that soothed the ailing that they had, because one, they were fearing, but they didn't see the Lord yet. It's the same peace that he says to them, and then he breathes upon them. The same breath that God breathed into man in Genesis 2:7, into the nostrils of man, giving them life, giving them literally the Holy Spirit. And he tells us right after that. And he said this, he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they're retained. This is one of the commands that is charged. Forgiveness of sins. The retaining of sins. That same peace. When we go to confession, we go and we confess all that's troubling us to calm our hearts, to calm our souls, and for the priest to give us some advice, some medicine to help us with this disturbance that's going on inside. And God sends his Spirit down to calm us, to cleanse us, to put to rest, put to bed, to alleviate these different ailments that we've confessed. And then we go into the second part of the passage where Thomas is there. And we all know what he says: I will not believe unless I see for myself the hand where the nail went, the hand of our Lord, and put my finger there, the side where they pierced him with the spear. He says this. He believed, but he wanted physical proof. Like all of us, we too believe, but sometimes we need proof. Now, on the way into church, you may have noticed on the beautiful icon stand, the icon of Sunday Thomas, where he is touching the Lord's side. And maybe in the bulletin, you also notice the same icon that's right up here. So we have this beautiful icon of Thomas examining the Lord's side to verify if it's him. And he sees this. And our Lord hears something very beautiful from Thomas. He knows that Thomas is unbelieving. Thomas, I will not believe until I see our Lord. See the side, see the nails. Right? This unbelief that he has is apistos, which means a literal unbelief, an unfaithfulness, to the point of borderline unbelief of not believing in God. But he sees this from our, he sees our Lord in the midst, in the purest form of our Lord, the same form that we will be at the resurrection, that same form in the midst of all of the disciples. And Thomas, after he sees our Lord, touches his hand in the side, says to Jesus, my Lord and my God, my Lord and my God. Is all that Jesus needed to hear from Thomas. And Thomas believed. He saw our Lord. He saw him in the midst. And Thomas, touching the side, touching the nails, believed. That's all Thomas needed. Thomas declared that. And we have this last part. But after Thomas says, my Lord and my God, he says, blessed are those who have not yet seen, yet believed. Many of us are like Thomas. We believe with all of our mind, but we go through different periods or phases of life where we need that proof, but we're reassured by our friends and our loved ones. We're reassured of our Lord's calming presence. We're reassured by different miracles that happen in the world. We're reassured through the history of our faith. We're reassured through our traditions. We're reassured. But yet sometimes we are like Thomas with that unbelief. But yet when we turn to him, when we turn to our Lord, that unbelief is wiped away and we're given that encouragement. Like when we go to confession, when we have different ailments troubling us, we don't have much belief at that point. And when we come out of there, we have more belief, we're filled with zeal, like the holy apostles, when they receive the Holy Spirit, they are filled with that zeal, that fire, to go and to proclaim, and to forgive the sins, and to proclaim this, that disbelief is wiped away. And we're given hope in the last part of our passage today. Because there are many things that our Lord did that were not written in the gospel. Our Lord can't be contained. And if many things were... Our Lord did many things that aren't written in our books so that we may believe and have hope with him. Just like we hear this peace, peace be with you. Peace. We're in church and we have a sense of peace because we escape the outside world to be in the kingdom of heaven, which is in our midst, it's among us, which is invoked by the priest at the beginning of every holy sacrament in the church, blessed is the kingdom. When we come into the church outside of this outside world, that earthly peace that all of us truly and deeply want goes away. But the true heavenly divine peace, when we are in the presence of our Lord, like we are in the context of liturgy now, becomes actualized, it becomes real. And that's what our Lord wants for all of us, just like when he appeared to his disciples, that calming peace, which is one of the fruits of the Spirit that we read in Galatians 5:22 through 25. Peace. Peace, one of the fruits of the Spirit that he gave, that our Lord gave to his holy disciples right then and there, which we will again read and hear on Holy Pentecost, where we hear the beautiful kneeling prayers. It is a little bit longer, but the beautiful prayers. And for right now, during the Paschal period, we do not say, O heavenly King, comfort the Spirit of Truth, because the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, has not come yet. At Holy Pentecost, the Spirit of Truth will come down on the holy apostles again. So in our gospel, we have three different things, but we're hearing a foreshadowing of what is to come at Holy Pentecost itself. And all of us will have fears in our life, just like the apostles, where they closed the doors for being shut. But we must remember all that our Lord has done for us in our life, all that our mothers have done for us in our life to care for us when we're crying, when we need soothing, when we need comfort. We must remember and remind ourselves of the love that our Lord has for each of us, just like the love that a mother has for each one of us. And we must reflect, what is troubling us in our life? And if something's troubling us, hone in on that trouble. And how can we seek peace? How can we find that peace with Christ? Does it warrant us going to confession privately? Does that warrant us asking forgiveness from one another to have some type of peace with us? And as we go today, may we reflect on the divine peace, the peace that we all experience at different points in the liturgy itself, especially today. May we reflect on our mothers in our life and the role and the impact that they may have had or have yet to have on us, depending on how old we are. And may we remember the Mother of God and her role in our church, and may we always turn to her in our time of need, which is why we have the beautiful Paraklesis service, or the service of supplication, that is so beautifully chanted during the first 15 days of August. But here we are blessed that we do it almost every week, depending on the season of the year. In May, we also love our Lord with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and reflect upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and our Mother of God, the Theotokos, all the days of our life, always, now, and ever, unto the ages of ages. Amen.
Amen.